for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
And what you said in a couple of minutes yesterday to me is the most important thing that's ever been said on this show, on any show on this air, and that we are at war. It is time for the Democrats to wake up. We are playing against cheaters and liars or stealers. And with all due respect to Michelle Obama, when they go high, when they go low, we got to do whatever.
With all the censorship big tech is engaged in, it's critical that you sign up for our free newsletter at Infowars.com/newsletter. You will get breaking news, videos, great deals at InfowarsStore.com, and all the latest articles with key intel and analysis. Get around the electronic Berlin Wall by signing up for our newsletter at Infowars.com/newsletter. Benjamin Franklin once said, "Whatever begins in anger ends in shame." That shame, born of anger for losing the 2016 election, was on full display, and the Democrats couldn't have made the tiny impeachment fantasy world they carved out for themselves any clearer.
He may be the first president in quite some time to face the real prospect of jail time.
By the time we get to 2020, Donald Trump may not even be president. In fact, he may not even be a free person.
Do you believe the president right now has been an agent of the Russians?
Yes.
The president's chant of no obstruction is nonsense. His chant that he's been totally exonerated is a simple lie.
Prosecutors don't exonerate. The legal standard in the United States is not exoneration. You're found guilty or not guilty. And this, if we thought we could exonerate him, we would do so. He never had that authority in the first place.
Now, you didn't use the word impeachable conduct like Starr did. There was no statute to prevent you from using the word impeachable conduct. And I go back to what Mr. Radcliffe said, and that is that even the president is innocent until proven guilty.
After finally wheeling in their savior, special counsel for the bogus Russia investigation, Robert Mueller, who would prove to us all that he is ripe for retirement and was in desperate need for an afternoon nap rather than an intensive grilling on the Hill.
When did you become aware that the unverified Steele dossier was included in the FISA application to spy on Carter Page?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
When did you become aware that the unverified Steele dossier was included in the FISA application to spy on Carter Page?
I'm not going to speak to that.
Your team interviewed Christopher Steele, is that correct?
Not going to get into that.
You can't tell this committee as to whether or not you interviewed Christopher Steele in a 22-month investigation with 18 lawyers.
Mueller fumbled through an investigation he barely understood.
I'm not going to answer that. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to speak to that. I'm not going to discuss that. I'm not going to speak to that. I have no idea. Don't recall that one.
Wielding the nonsense word exoneration, goaded into appearing by Jerry Nadler and the true author of the Mueller investigation, Andrew Weissmann. The irony? Mueller was surrounded by lawyers that protected Hillary Clinton's email scandal, Hillary ultimately being the catalyst for the entire witch hunt. The Democrats' battle cry? No one is above the law.
Any other person who acted in this way would have been charged with crimes. And in this nation, not even the president is above the law.
Volume 2 of this report was not authorized under the law to be written. It was written to a legal standard that does not exist at the Justice Department. And it was written in violation of every DOJ principle about extra prosecutorial commentary. I agree with the chairman this morning when he said Donald Trump is not above the law. He's not. But he damn sure shouldn't be below the law, which is where Volume 2 of this report puts him.
Meanwhile, the Clinton body death count rises unimpeded. Where is the oversight regarding the FBI documents uncovered by Judicial Watch back in April in a folder literally labeled the Clinton cover-up operation, implicating the Obama White House and Barack Obama? This is the true cover-up and obstruction of justice undermining the rule of law.
We'll be right back.
the War Room now. On this Friday, July 26th, 2019, I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. It is the Veterans Call-In Special, as we do the last Friday of every month. We'll have veteran guests, and we'll have open phone lines for you to call in if you're a veteran as well. I'm going to be here for the next 2 hours, and then Will Johnson is going to take over after that, taking your calls, covering news. Folks, this is incredible. There's never really been such a precedent, at least that I can point to in modern American history, where if you disagree with someone's politics, you just label them a criminal. It doesn't matter that you searched for years to try to find any criminal activity and found none. It doesn't matter that all the criminal activity is hiding right under your own feet with Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Jeffrey Epstein, Bob Mueller, and the like. Adam Schiff. I mean, you can only imagine what Adam Schiff does behind closed doors. In fact, I wouldn't suggest imagining. But it's gone to such a level now where the Democrats and their cohorts in the media are telling America that Trump is a criminal and he's just unindicted because he's the president. This is criminal behavior. And the president is relying on the American people to be smart and savvy enough to recognize this for what it is and not be gaslit into a civil war like the Democrats and the media want so they can just mop up America with the UN and a one-world government. But so here is MSNBC going out on an unprecedented, untapped limb, accusing the president of the United States, saying he's a criminal with no evidence, no support, no documentation, nothing, literally nothing. Just, we hate him. We labeled him a racist. We told you he's bad. We made up he's Russian. So now he's a criminal. So they can't do anything except just amp up their rhetoric every time they keep failing. So the Mueller thing fails, doesn't matter. Let's ramp up our rhetoric. Now they're saying Donald Trump is a criminal.
And what you said in a couple of minutes yesterday, to me, is the most important thing that's ever been said on this show, or on any show on this air, and that we are at war. It is time for the Democrats to wake up. We are playing against cheaters and liars or stealers. And with all due respect to Michelle Obama, when they go high, when they go low, we got to do whatever we have to do. We actually have a government led by Moscovich and criminal Trump. Oh, by the way, we're going to call him unindicted criminal Trump now because in two instances, he has been an unindicted criminal. So I know in regular, when you're playing fair, you're supposed to call him President Trump. Just like we're going to call him Moscovich, we're going to call him criminal Trump. And another message for the Democrats, it is time to move forward. There are two takeaways from Mueller that we're going to use as we go to war. Number one, the president broke the law, and when he's out of office, he can go and will go to jail. And number two, we are vulnerable with our election systems. That's our two things. We may not have won the battle of impeachment, but we're going to win the war of putting him in jail, whatever we have to do. And we're not going to necessarily play fair. And for all the intellectuals out there whose hair is going to go on fire, but we're becoming like them, we cannot lose the next election. We will go back 50 years.
Now, notice what he left out of that commentary. What criminal behavior? What? You said he's a criminal. What criminal behavior? What laws did he break? There was none. If there were, Mueller would have pointed them out. So this is really just unabridged lying, unabridged fraud, unabridged hate. And I don't understand. I mean, first of all, what is with Joe Scarborough's like fake Johnny Bravo hair that he's got going now? I mean, what is that deal? Seriously, man. But anyway, aside from the weird hairdo, Donnie Deutsch gets up there and calls Trump a criminal, an unindicted criminal, says he's guilty of criminal behavior, never names the crimes, never points out any of the crimes, and then tells you what the Democrats are about to do. They're going to war with America. They're in a civil war with America right now. They're not playing fair. They're cheating. They're lying. They're stealing. Literally, they're doing all of it. And instead of being like Donnie Deutsch, why don't I point out how they're doing it? They're lying by making up stories like Jussie Smollett, like Erica Thomas, like Covington Catholic, like Trump colluding with Russia, like Hillary's going to win the election. They lie all day long. They lie all day long. They cheat. They steal. How? Go ahead and read the WikiLeaks emails. Hillary Clinton rigged the entire Democrat primary in 2016. If you go back, there was a... When was it? This is like an old... I found this story last night. I forget who it was. There was some old story where Democrats, and they do this every year. If the Democrat candidate for president isn't winning, literally in the twilight hours of an election, they're quote-unquote searching for ballots. It happened this year. They found truckloads of ballots. Who was it? They literally got someone elected. It may have been JFK. I think it was Kennedy. They literally got Kennedy in office. They found ballots in the trunk of a car. So the Democrats are known. They got caught with Acorn. They ballot harvest. Dead people vote. People vote twice. It's all done by the Democrats. It's all on record. I mean, total election fraud. And then they're going to get up here on MSNBC and say, we have to go to the next level to protect our elections. You people call for wide open borders. You people call for no voter ID laws. You're the ones that are allowing our elections to be tampered. And you don't even point out the big elephant in the room, Google and social media doing everything they can with their digital power structure to rig elections. Now, look, I am a non-aggression principle person. I'm a peaceful person. I don't want to get violent. But I have to call things as I see them here, folks. I mean, if you want a civil war with America, you're going to get it. And this is not me puffing my chest. This is not me saying, I execute my Second Amendment. Come mess with me. No, this is me saying intellectually, culturally, you're now taking the mask off. You're now taking your gun out of the holster. You're now pointing it at America, and America's just sitting here like, hey, knock it off. Hey, quit lying. Hey, quit stealing. Hey, quit cheating. Hey, quit engaging in treason. Hey, quit engaging in criminal behavior. Knock it off. Well, they're not stopping. They know they're not stopping, and they know we'll stop them, so they're kind of like going for their gun, and now they're like pointing it at us like, all right, do we just kill America because they're not going to let us get away with this criminal behavior? Do we just shoot America dead because they're not going to let us run over them like a dictator? And that's what they're now admitting. They're saying, we're not going to play fair. We're at war. They're calling for violence. They're engaging in violence. This is the Democrat Party. I'm telling you, I almost want to stop this broadcast, and we're going to have our great veteran guest coming up here next. I'm serious. I almost want to cut a piece of audio that's just 5 seconds long and then run it for the next 3 hours. The Democrat Party is the largest domestic terror group in the United States of America. I cannot repeat this enough. This cannot be said enough. The Democrat Party is the largest domestic terror group in the United States of America. They're attacking Republican facilities. They're attacking ICE facilities. They're attacking Trump supporters. They're calling for war. They're calling for violence. They're cheating. They're rigging elections. They're using big tech. The Democrats are the biggest domestic terror group in America today.
War Room. Infowars.com/show.
All right, it's the last Friday of the month. And you know what that means. It's the Veterans Call-In Special. So, we're going to open up the phone lines for veterans right now. Veterans, go ahead, call in, weigh in on anything you'd like to today. I'd like to hear the veterans' take on the Bob Mueller testimony. They make this guy out to be a hero. He was in the Vietnam War. But some say he's a disgrace to the uniform now. We'll get the take from the veterans. 888-201-2244. We ask that if you're a veteran, you call in. Let us know what branch of the military you're a veteran of, and we will get you on the line and ready to go. As usual, though, we have our veteran guests as well. My two guests today are Douglas Dakota, who, let me just go down this impressive resume. Medically retired United States Army soldier and law enforcement veteran with over 18 years of professional experience and over 14 million views on his YouTube channel when he was in the active duty. Mr. Dakota held two different MOS positions, including 67U, a Chinook flight engineer, and 67N, a Huey crew chief in the Army Guard. He picked up another MOS 95B military police officer and also served 3 years as an HH-60G helicopter crew chief in the California Air Guard. The list goes on and on of all the tours that he saw and everywhere he was. A long, long resume there. And then also American Joe, who is beginning his own endeavors in media. American Joe is a U.S. Army veteran that served from 1989 to 1995, was deployed during Operation Desert Shield / Desert Storm with the 1st Cavalry Division. Joe's unit was the first combat to test the Avenger Air Defense System, and he has launched American Freedom Supply as well. And I believe he's launching his own media operation now, too. So Douglas and Joe join me here on the Veterans Call-In Special. So glad you guys are with us today. I want to get both of your guys' takes on the big national story that has pretty much occupied this week's news coverage, and that is the Bob Mueller testimony. Let's start with Douglas. What is your take now that it's concluded on the Bob Mueller testimony from this week?
Hi, Owen. First, thanks for having us on. And hey, I'm digging the beard there, brother.
Yeah, we got some beard power on today's show.
Yes, we did. My take was that it was the best part was the briefing today that Nadler held with his buffoons, talking about how the testimony went yesterday, which was a complete and utter failure for the Democrats. It was very funny because for the first time ever, CNN actually agreed with Fox News that this was actually just a waste of time and money. And then members of the Hollywood elite came out and basically said the same thing. The late night talk show hosts were making fun of it. And Nadler comes out talking about how, you know, it's rambling and babbling back and forth, that it was a great thing. And they're moving forward and they're going to get all the stuff they need. And they're going to keep looking at impeachment. And, you know, it was what it is. It's a continuous push into 2020 to keep the word impeachment and crimes on the table and hopes to peel enough voters away and or towards the Democrats. That's my take on the whole damn thing.
Well, and I think that just by looking at it on its face, you can see that. And it's really sad that they would go to such lengths and politicize such a fraudulent narrative here just for their own political agenda. I mean, that's about stooping as low as you can go. And it just shows you how they have no class. American Joe, let's get your take. What do you think about that testimony and the coverage since?
Well, thanks for having me on, Owen, first of all. And Douglas pretty much nailed it right there. The only thing I would add is the Democrats know they have absolutely no shot at beating Donald Trump in a fair election. When you look at any crowd size at a Trump rally and compare it to the high school auditorium a Democrat is lucky to fill, it's very obvious that America stands behind Donald Trump. There's us, the very boisterous and loud supporters of Donald Trump, and then there's everybody else who's afraid to talk about it because you get labeled a racist and a homophobe and an Islamophobe if you support Donald Trump. So they know they don't have a shot at beating him in a heads-up election. That's why they're going to continue to push this ridiculous narrative. And it's just never going to stop, just like Doug said. It's going to go on and on and on. And that's why it's so important that all of us patriots across all media platforms come together with a unified voice to support Donald Trump, because the left controls the mainstream media. As you said earlier, Owen, the left controls Google and information that's not only searched and found, but information that's discovered when you're online and information that gets out to the public. So when you control information, you control public opinion. It's no different than North Korea and a state-run media. That's what Google is in our country. So we have to band together, Owen, and thank you for having me on the show.
Well, and if you just kind of look at everything you just said and boil it down, here's the significance. They intimidate people out of their free speech so that they can run with a false narrative that Trump isn't that popular, because the average Trump supporter is, like you said, afraid of being labeled a racist or this or that. So they don't wear their Trump hat. They don't wear their Trump shirt. They don't stand up for Trump during just general political commentary. And so that voice is never heard. Then they can run the false narrative. Trump is unpopular. He's getting beat by Biden in the polls. And act like they have a chance to beat him, even though, like you said, if you just look at rally turnout numbers, you see the whole thing's a sham. I mean, Beto O'Rourke was going to be the savior of the Democrat Party. He flew on an airplane just the other day. Nobody even knew who he was. The only people that knew who he was were Trump supporters that took a photo with him to troll him. So it really just shows you how they're using the power of the media to intimidate people, using the power of control of information to keep the truth silent, so that they can run with this false narrative like, oh yeah, Trump's not popular, he's going to lose, the Democrats going to beat him. None of it's true. And I mean, I know that you two are obviously going out there doing your thing. You started AmericanJoeShow.com, DouglasDakota.com. Douglas, I mean, what is your measurement right now? I mean, obviously Trump has the most ardent support showing up, but are you afraid that the media and that Google and the control of information with big tech, is that enough to defeat Trump in 2020?
I don't think it's enough to defeat him in 2020. I think after today and this whole Mueller thing, I believe we got 2020 in the bag. Okay, but social media, yes, is doing everything in their power, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or even YouTube, doing everything they can to shut down the conservative voice. Now, look, all that being said, keep something in mind. Another reason why they're pushing this so much is to take our eye off the ball of what's happening with members of Congress that are, in my personal opinion, secretly infiltrating and about to do severe damage to everything that we stand for. All right. Here, you know, the military, the government sent me an American Joe overseas to Muslim countries to fight terrorists. They taught us that.
Well, let's hold that thought right there, because sure, the Democrats are now openly engaging in domestic terrorism by my measurement. We'll get your take on that.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Donald J. Trump is president of the United States.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that might trigger liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Welcome back to the Infowars.com War Room, brought to you by InfowarsStore.com. It's the Veterans Call-In Special. I'm here with Douglas Dakota and American Joe. We're talking about the Mueller testimony. We're talking about the Democrat domestic terrorism. We're going to get right back to them in a second. I've got the call-in lines lit up. Looking forward to hearing to all of you on the line. I promise we'll get to you as well. Before we do all of that, you know, I want to do this before I forget, because we got all kinds of great specials at InfowarsStore.com. I can tell you about the 50% off DNA Force Plus, the 50% off Super Male Vitality, the 50% off all the storable foods, the 40% off the InfoWars Life protein bars, the War Room coupon code special at checkout for 15% off any Pro-Pure shower filter. But I've had this story on my desk for a couple days, and I want to do this before I forget. So, study. One apple carries roughly 1 million bacteria, which is a good thing. And so if you dig deeper into the basis of this story, it's all about how fruits and organic foods that come from the ground and trees and what have you have all of this good bacteria that is good for your gut health. And when we have a diet of processed foods, we're not getting that good gut bacteria. And so much like other issues that we see in modern day society, at InfoWars, we try to look for solutions. So we saw the studies that the modern day diet wasn't delivering the good gut bacteria. And what we did is we found products in supplement form that can help get that bacteria back into your gut, back into your diet. Things like Living Defense, things like Carnivore, things like Floralife. These are all supplements we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. So, you know, when you see the stories about thyroid issues and people being low on iodine, what do? We give you nascent iodine. When we see the stories about the average diet lacking the good bacteria, what do? We get supplements that has the good bacteria in it. Again, Living Defense, Floralife, Carnivore. These are just a few examples that are at InfoWarsStore.com. So I'm a big fan of the Floralife. I do like the Carnivore. If you're going to have a big meal of red meat, the Carnivore is always good for breaking that down. But just the good gut bacteria that you're not getting in your diet with the supplements like Floralife and Carnivore and Living Defense, you can try to maintain healthy gut bacteria levels even if you're not having the best diet to maintain those levels. So InfoWarsStore.com has all that, and it's InfoWarsStore.com where you can find it. Okay, we got people lined up, but I wanted to finish Douglas's take on where he was at and then get American Joe's take on it and then go out to the phone line. So, you know, based on what you're seeing, Douglas, with the rhetoric stepping up, but really beyond the rhetoric, I mean, they're calling for violence now. And the violence has hit the streets, at ICE facilities, at Republican headquarters, to the average Trump supporter in the street. I mean, people say this is aggressive. Maybe it's extreme. I'm just responding and calling it as it is. I say that the Democrat Party is the largest domestic terror group in America. What about you, Douglas?
Well, I agree with you. I say they are, too. The point I was making a few minutes ago was that, you know, they send us off to fight in these Muslim countries and tell us that they are the bad guys. And then we come back and then they tell us to flip a switch and don't think that way anymore. And they put them in Congress, and not just put Muslims in Congress, but some that hate us and everything we stand for. We're talking about Tlaib and Omar. So for a veteran, that really, really blows to hear this coming from somebody that's a sitting member of Congress that hates us, hates law enforcement, hates America, hates everything we stand for. It's very, very disheartening. And as a combat veteran that fought in the Middle East, it really pisses me off.
American Joe, AmericanJoeShow.com. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, when I posted a video today, I just saw a video that didn't make its rounds. At least I never saw it from 2018. In this video, Ilhan Omar's on Al Jazeera, and the interviewer asked her a good question. Why shouldn't Americans be worried about Islam, about terrorists, about all these things that Americans are worried about? And she says that Americans should be worried about the white man, because the white man's killing everybody. And this is disgusting on every level. And we have to sit here as veterans or just as an ordinary American, and we got to listen to this, I would say, an illegal immigrant, because it's obvious now with all the evidence that's come forward that she never even came to this country legally. And now she's not only illegal, she's infiltrated Congress. We have to do something about this. You have Rashida Tlaib in Congress who wraps herself in a Palestinian flag when she gets elected. That is not allegiance to this country. And so what do we do? Well, we have to start fighting back, and we cannot have any red hat, which is anybody in this country who has a brain in their head, sitting home on election day like they did in 2018 when we lost the House of Representatives. We can never let Democrats hold power again. We have to crush them at the ballot box. We have to make them believe they're never going to hold power ever again. We have to drown them in their sorrows, in their tears, by my estimation.
And I don't know what the answer is, because, you know, the American voter now, unfortunately, is either so brainwashed, some of them are so ignorant, that they do elect people like AOC to Congress. I mean, you can't even imagine the racism of a Tlaib, of a Cortez, of an Omar. But you know what? I mean, look, at a certain point, it's like, fine, you want to hate me because I'm white. You're not going to stop me from living my life. I'm not going to cry over it. But it's like, you hate America. That's what the problem is. And your rhetoric is going to start a civil war because, I mean, the tolerance of Americans to put up with this garbage is actually quite impressive. Because, you know, I'm amazed that Americans have put up with this for so long. I don't know if they're going to put up with it for another election, you know, with the Ilhan Omars that hate America. But that's what really upsets us, I think, as Americans, is that we see people that hate America getting into office, promoting that hatred, promoting that rhetoric. And it's just like, well, who's going to stand up for America? If we're not going to stand up to anti-Americans inside this country, then, I mean, what are we even doing here? Do we even have a country anymore? The border's wide open. So it's really sick. It's really disgusting, these individuals. And look, we want a peaceful political revolution. That's why we elected Trump. That's why we're saying get out to the voting booths. But hell, the Democrats are the ones calling for a violent revolution. I hope they don't get it. Let's go out to a quick phone call here. Our first caller of the day, Reed, Marine Army veteran from Florida. Go ahead, Reed.
Hey, Owen, first-time caller. I have a question. I was watching the Mueller hearing, and he kept on referring back to his report. My question is, why did he have a redacted report? Because you can actually see him refer to it, and there was a bunch of redactions on it. Now, was that the copy that they gave him to hide stuff and make sure he didn't accidentally referred to something that was...
So I have seen some other commentary on this, and that is the belief that there were names redacted from that so that he wouldn't say it, or maybe they wouldn't go on camera, but that has been pointed out. I'm not sure if that's accurate, but that's what I've seen.
Well, my question is, why aren't the Republicans stepping up and saying, well, you guys wanted a unredacted report. Why is he referring to a redacted report? We want to see the report that is unredacted and what he should have been referring to. Supposedly,
yeah, but look, they admit they're not playing fair. Any neutral audience consuming this can see that they're not playing fair. So the Republicans, the Republicans have tried to play fair. They're the ones saying, hey, look, you guys are disobeying the law. You guys are breaking the rules. There's no precedent for this. You have no such evidence for what you're claiming. I mean, look, there's investigations happening out of Dan Horowitz's office, or the Attorney General or the Inspector General Horowitz. They're all about to come out. I mean, the Democrats, they're in big trouble.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Veterans call-in special. My guests, Douglas Ducote and American Joe. DouglasDucote.com, AmericanJoeShow.com. A couple veterans launching their own media enterprise. That's what you got to do to defeat all the fake news, trying to control social media and the flow of information. We've got veterans on the line. Let's go out to Navy veteran Brad Chadford in Boston, who has a Mueller tattoo on his back that he doesn't regret at all, he claims. Go ahead, Brad.
All right, man. I got to say, it's time to move on.com. This has got to stop now. I was the biggest, you know, cheerleader. I got the Mueller tattoo mostly just to irritate you people, but
didn't work, by the way.
It's over with now, okay? And Nadler is killing me. You're killing me, Nad. I want to grab him straight up by the Nadler and explain to him that this has got to stop because we have an election right in front of us in 2020. It's over and done with. We have to try and win that election. And what I wanted to get into with you and your guests is there's actually one candidate who's actually still serving who is suing Google. And this is what we need to be concerned about when it comes to the next election, how social media is going to attempt to affect this election. And Tulsi Gabbard is suing Google. And no one else is doing anything about anything. They're just whining. Trump has this, whatever that was, that summit.
Which social media summit,
just
yeah.
To like tug Carpe Donctum in public and tell him that he cares. I don't think he really actually cares, but Tulsi's putting her money where her mouth is and actually suing Google. And we have to talk about this.
Well, look, I think Tulsi Gabbard is the best Democrat candidate by far. We've talked about this before. I told you the Democrats would never give her a chance. I think that's been proven now by the fact they're using Google to make sure that she can't get an edge in campaign fundraising. Yeah, she's suing Google. You probably won't even hear about it on the Democrat media. I'd like to see Trump and Gabbard run together, but Gabbard's purists think Trump colluded with Russia, so she'll never do that. But, I mean, what do you guys think about Tulsi Gabbard as a Democrat candidate getting the shaft from the Democrat Party? Douglas?
Well, you know, I'm sorry to hear that for her, but look, I don't want anything to do with a Democrat even coming close to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Can't do that. Can't even go there.
American Joe?
Yeah, you're right. Tulsi doesn't have a shot at the Democratic nomination. That's the Democrats' problem. They cannot nominate the right person. And that Tulsi's the closest to the right person they're going to find. And even she would get destroyed by Trump in a general election. So that's why they're going to have to resort to these tactics. I'm sorry your caller feels the way he feels. He should be voting for Donald Trump.
He can't get over Trump being a what's that?
Just because I'm a vet doesn't mean I have to vote the way you think I should vote. Okay. Last time I checked, the military is one of the most diverse organizations on the planet, the American military. And just because you guys think that patriotism means agreeing with you, I don't feel that way.
Oh, whoa, a little spice from Brad Chadford. Hey,
nobody
Brad, let me ask you.
Brother, nobody said that.
Let me ask you one question, though, Brad, before I let you go. Did you take Jerry Nadler's fashion advice and wear your pants up to your nipples?
You know what? I don't think that I could possibly fit anything that would fit Jerry Nadler on another human being. I don't think that would work. He's a weeping woman.
There's no one with the same body shape. All right, man. Hey, thanks for the call. Let's go to another Navy veteran caller in Austin, Texas, a friend of the show, Thad. Go ahead, Thad.
How you doing, Owen?
Doing good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, driving to San Antonio. You know, I was going to go ahead and go into how Mueller has historically been the fixer for really – both parties. I mean, more the Republican Party than the Democratic Party. I mean, when you talk about even the Whitey Bulger case, 9/11, you know, Uranium One. I mean, the guy has definitely.
Enron, the anthrax deal. Yeah, Mueller.
Yeah, the guy definitely has his fingerprint
or Mueller.
On every honeypot. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I heard your Ilhan Omar rhetoric in regards to white males. I it makes me sit back and think. But every single event that I've been to, from Seattle, Washington, Portland, down here to Austin, which is quickly becoming another Portland type station for these people, is that it actually is white males, and actually Alex. You know, yourself, you know, we've all made these comments in regards to these white men that for whatever reason buy into this whole white privilege nonsense, you know, and are the guys that are firebombing and are, you know, performing these acts or organizing these acts of violence against anyone that disagrees with their, you know, long planned, you know, rhetoric, you know, it kind of is. You know, white males. That's not the
No. This is actually interesting. It's like a weird screwball, like knuckleball thing that they do where they demonize white men as the problem. And if you want to look at white men being a problem, it's the liberal anti-fascist terrorists that are mostly white middle-aged men that are out there engaging in fascism and domestic terrorism, calling themselves Antifa and such. But then they ignore that. They say it's conservative white males that are the problem. And then they ignore the fact, like, I mean, you've been to all these different events. I mean, you go to a conservative event, a Trump-supporting event, you look around, yeah, you're going to have a bunch of white people. You're going to have a bunch of brown people. You're going to have a bunch of black people. Nobody sits here and obsesses over race. Nobody sits here and says, okay, I'm at this event. What color are people's skin? They say, hey, I'm out here at this event. These people like America. They support Trump. Let's have a good time. So it's this weird, like, three-card Monty. They blame white people, but they ignore the white liberals that are causing the terror, and then they ignore anybody who they would call a minority that doesn't go along with their cult-like behavior.
Or just generally refers to them as a race traitor, you know? And it's definitely a head game, and if they would really take the time to look at the situation, they would find that it's all white males on the liberal end of the spectrum.
Oh, but see, but that's the thing. They'll never take the time to look at the situation. And even if they did, they couldn't even be honest with themselves about it. Thanks for the call, Thad. All right, let's get a final take from Douglas and American Joe before we let them go. Douglas, just a final comment, final commentary here before we let you go.
Sure. I just want to say, as for that caller, the number one biggest problem we have right now is the African American community being slaughtered by within themselves by other blacks killing them. Okay, so that's happening way more than these white people that are domestic terrorists. But anyhow, I just wanted to also say that YouTube and Facebook and Twitter have hurt myself as well as American Joe and other conservatives. And right now, Facebook not only has shut me down personally from my own Facebook account, but my Veterans United for Justice account on Facebook is shut down as well. So I can't even reach out to help vets on Facebook because they got upset that I said something on Twitter. And so that's, you know what? That's ruling us to try and stop helping other people and spreading the word.
So you can go and find his own website, folks, DouglasDacote.com. It's DouglasDacote.com because they're trying to censor him on social media. And then AmericanJoeShow.com for Joe's website. Joe, final 90 seconds. Give us a final statement.
Well, I tell you, Owen, this is it, man. The future of the country is on this election. I don't say that lightly. We have to take steps. We have to stand shoulder to shoulder. We have to mobilize on a level not seen before in this country, because we are up against all of the media, and that's very powerful. So I encourage all patriots to unite, to come together. And Owen, if you ever need me to co-host on this show or sit in, you let me know, my friend, because I am waiting in the wings for that opportunity. And this is going to go one way or the other, but I believe if every patriot stands up shoulder to shoulder, we will crush the Democrats. But do not get lazy and looking at the numbers of crowd supporters and crowd sizes and think it doesn't matter or your vote doesn't count. Because if you're watching this, your vote counts. It counts a great deal.
That's the key, though. Everybody does have to rise up together. They can't be intimidated, and they have to show up to the polls. And I don't know, Joe, I may have to have an unwritten rule. Nobody with a bigger beard than me is allowed to be on the broadcast, at least on Skype, okay? Because that beard is... it puts mine to shame right now, and I'd need like another month or three maybe to catch up with you. All right, hey, great having you guys on. Again, Douglas Dacote, DouglasDacote.com is his website, and AmericanJoeShow.com is Joe's website. We thank you guys so much for your service, so much for coming on today. I'm sure we'll be hearing from you again. And when we come back from the short break, I'm going to go back out to the phone lines before Chris Nyweem joins me.
Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
You know, I'll just say this before we go back to the veterans called in today. It's the Veterans Call-In Special. The line is, we got a couple lines open, 888-201-2244. If you're a veteran and you want to call in, 888-201-2244. This just hit me in the break because I just was handed this story. Republican Martha Roby to retire, and the GOP is about to lose three seats to retirements in this upcoming election. And I just war game things out in my head. It's like a calculator, kind of. But if you look, and I'm not even necessarily saying there's a connection here. It's just you weigh all the things. But if you see everything that the Democrats are doing on the surface in the public eye for people to see, I mean, openly calling for terrorism, openly illegally spying, openly lying, creating false narratives, spending millions of dollars on fake investigations. I mean, that's what they're doing right in front of you, right in front of your eyes for the public to see. Imagine what they're doing behind closed doors. Well, it's stuff like Project Veritas caught them on camera admitting to openly plotting and planning domestic terror. And again, that's just what we know the Democrats are doing. I can't even imagine what they're doing behind closed doors, folks. I mean, I don't want to go into detail, but you're looking at Adam Schiff and you just know. So, God help us. Like, God forgive us, because when our fellow man commits these sins against humanity, against the children, we all suffer. So I just pray just God forgives us, because we've all been a part of this, unfortunately. And that's the big con game. That's the big con game with abortion. That's the big con game putting the dead baby fetuses in the vaccines. It's even worse. And I just look at a person like Adam Schiff, just one man. I mean, Hillary Clinton, you know, the list goes on, and Jeffrey Epstein. But I just pray to God he forgives all of us, because honestly, the fact that we've let this go on for so long, we probably all deserve to burn in hell. But thank God for Jesus offering us a path to redemption, because the evil. I don't want to belabor this point, folks, but you just have to imagine. I mean, when you see what the Democrats are engaged in right now, just imagine what they're trying to cover up. Just imagine what they're doing behind closed doors, okay? In fact, don't imagine it, but I mean, again, you look at a Schiff, you look at a Nadler, you look at a Waters, and you know about a Clinton. Anyway, let me just squeeze in a phone call real quick. Matthew, Coast Guard, Mississippi. Go ahead, Matthew.
Hey, Owen, how are you, brother?
Good, thanks for calling.
I just want to tell you who else has got a kick-ass beard. That's Joe, old Joe Biggs, huh?
Well, yeah, Joe grows one for sure.
Oh, yeah, brother. I've talked to him back and forth. Listen, I know Douglas Ducote and also American Joe. I don't want to take too much of your time. I want to hit on a couple of points here, but you're exactly right what you're saying about the lead up to 2020. But let's don't ignore the 1,000-pound gorilla in the room. And the fact of the matter is that the Democrats know they're lying. They've been lying the whole time. And the team that I work with, America First Media Group, Matt Couch, uncovered the truth all the way down to Donna Brazile lying about where she was at. Yeah, I said it. You heard it right. She was at the hospital when Seth Conrad Rich was rolled into the hospital. They've uncovered some stuff. They just released who they're talking to, Adam Weaver, who, yes, was with Fox News when it all broke. It's coming out to light again. You've got Mueller with Uranium One, and you've got Nadler that's involved in the stuff that he doesn't want the public to know about.
Yeah, I mean, it's so obvious. They're all engaged in crimes. That's why they're engaged in the cover-up. But, man, the Seth Rich thing, I'll tell you, it's like hot and cold, but then when you see Michael Isikoff trying to spike it as a national story, the red flags go up. Now, wait a second. Chris Nyheim is on the line, right? I know someone. Hold on. Oh, I know someone that'll give me a woo. Hey, Chris, can I get a woo?
Is it Friday? If it's Friday, then woo! Ric Flair, baby. Good to be back with you, sir.
It's the last Friday of the month. Woo! That means it's a veterans call-in show. Woo! It's Chris Nyheim on the line. Woo! 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 And so here we are. Before we get to Chris, before we do get to Chris, and we're going to get his response to the Mueller testimony, other developments that he's got his finger on the pulse of, as well as your calls, Liberty, Sergeant, Hatman, and others here on the Veterans Call-In Special. I want to remind folks that next week, the Democrat Clown Show is back. It is back. And I know, even though Beto is polling at 0%, we really got to get him on that debate stage again. And so Beto, polling at 0%, is going to be back. But it's the Clown World Part 2, See the Enemies of America. We've got the live streams. We're going to be covering it next Tuesday and Wednesday. Our coverage kicks off at 7 p.m. Central. And you can go to Infowars.com/show. To find those links. And I think, do we still have clownworld.us, guys? Are we still going on clownworld.us? Clownworld.us. There's our website right there, clownworld.us. You can also pick up the live streams there. Who will be the Democrat clown candidate for president? Will it be Kamala Harris? Will it be Pete Buttigieg? Will it be... No, Eric Swalwell dropped out. Will it be Marianne Williamson? Will it be Cory Booker? Will it be Julian, I'm a man and can get pregnant, Castro? Will it be Elizabeth Warren? Will it be Joe Biden? We will find out coming up next week, Democrat Clown Show Part 2. And folks, please, in fact, I'm going to do this now because you know, you put clown makeup on, you got to take the clown makeup off eventually. You're going to have to take a shower, get all that makeup off your face. It's disgusting. So I want to tell the Democrat clowns that when you're finished with your debates, you're going to need a good shower head that has a lot of water pressure to wipe that clown makeup off your face. So we've got filtered shower heads, the best filtered shower heads at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, I finally installed mine last weekend, and I'm so thrilled with it. I told the people over there in the product department that I wanted to do a new special, end of the July special, and go forward with this early. 15% off all of our ProPure shower filters at InfoWarsStore.com with coupon code WARROOM. And folks, look, this sounds goofy, like, okay, why are you so excited about a shower filter, dude? Like, what is your deal? No, this was amazing. It pretty much cut the fluoride water out of my life entirely. Except when you shower, you don't really think about that, but you're breathing it in when it steams up and fogs up. It does get into your skin, and so don't even bathe in the fluoridated water. But my big beef has been in the past, when you get the shower heads that are filtered, the water pressure is not very good. That is not the case anymore with the ProPure shower filters. Now, I suggest you get the big boy with the extendable hose and the five different functions. That's the one I got, and I was so happy, so excited, so thrilled with it. I decided to launch this special so that you could take advantage of 15% off all ProPure shower filters at InfoWarsStore.com with coupon code WARROOM at checkout. I promise you, you're not going to regret it. The water pressure is awesome. The five different functions are awesome. The extendable hose, and it's filtering the toxic water so you're not bathing in it. It's at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, Chris Nyheim, NyheimGroup.com. He's always working hard in D.C. It's impossible to not find him marketing, but he takes some time with us today here on the War Room. So, Chris, let's first get your take. I'm sure you at least saw the highlights of the Mueller testimony. What is your takeaway from that clown show?
You know, and I was sleeping through a good majority of it. It just didn't open up with anything that was appealing, and apparently it didn't. There was nothing really appealing during it as well. There was really nothing there. I mean, I think that's the big problem, is the Democrats, you know, bet the farm on this. It didn't work out. And it's the first time ever where the presumption of innocence they tried to throw out, where essentially apparently you have to guarantee you didn't commit a crime you didn't commit in order to be exonerated. I think politically they've really run out of fuel now, so it's going to be full steam ahead for for Trump in 2020. And we're just watching these candidates continue to evolve further and further left. And I think that we all know those are not the voters that are going to determine the future of this country. It's regular voters in swing states that have real economic needs the president's meeting. So I think it's a really interesting time right now.
Before we go to some of our veterans callers, you do a lot of work for veterans on the Hill, a veteran in your own right. How are the veterans issues going right now in D.C.?
They're going a lot better under President Trump. I mean, he's brought in a reform agenda that was really bold, right? It's simple. Veterans should be able to choose their doctors if they can't get into a veterans hospital in time. We want to shut down the painful VA canine testing, which we largely have. That's been reduced to, I think, about one or two facilities. So it's going better. I think the real issue still comes down to all of these funding and contractual mechanisms within the Mission Act, which is this big law that we're trying to get right. And obviously the VA, you know, over 300,000 employees. There's still a lot of veterans that still have issues. So it's better is the short answer, but the long answer is we really have to focus in on these specific issue areas to make sure we're getting those things right. So that's kind of the short answer on that. And a lot going on. So, stay tuned on the VA healthcare piece. And there's a couple of veterans that we work with well here in DC that'll probably be calling in this hour with some very specific updates relating to healthcare to kind of unpackage some of those technical aspects for us.
That's great. You know, I'm just going to do this live on air because I'm not sure we had an audible last minute here. Are you going to stick around for 2 hours today or are you just doing the 1 hour?
Oh, and if I get to spend 2 hours with you, I'm going to take it. Does this map make me look smarter, by the way? This is like a Paul Joseph Watson map. I'm tempted to do the impression right now.
It needs to be a little bit bigger, but I kind of want to hear your impression.
Oh, Owen, you don't think there's secular progressives living over here? You got it wrong. They sure are. And they're all like, oh, we love Hillary. We don't know why, but we're betting the farm on her. That's just the ad hoc. I've actually never done that. Like, outside.
Well, listen. I'm going to be signing off after this hour. Actually, Will Johnson's taking over. You're welcome to stay with him. If you want to do another Paul Joseph Watson, impression. Let's squeeze in a phone call real quick. I do have a question for you, but I'm going to do that on the other side of this break. Let's go to Sergeant, a Marine calling in from California. Go ahead, Sergeant.
Hey there, Owen. It's good to talk to you. Kind of wanted to chime in on that whole Mueller and all this Congress debacle and stuff. You know, they used to say something back in the day when you would get elected to Congress. They would call it serving in Congress. When you sign on the dotted line and you raise your hand, you take that oath to support and defend the Constitution. That's serving your country. Robert Mueller may have earned the title of United States Marine at one point in his life, but we operate under the core values of honor, courage, and commitment when we serve our country. And I, in my heart of Eagle, Globe, and Anchor, Marine, Fire mentality, Robert Mueller has failed to do that. I believe he's lost his title, much like those 16 Marines that were arrested yesterday for, you know, trafficking drugs and people across the border. They lost their title, you know, and Robert Mueller has lost his title in my eyes. And I'm just wondering when these people, we have an obligation, not just a right, to remove this government and institution and replace it. And I'm wondering when will we stand up and act on this?
Well, and obviously you want to avoid any physical violence and confrontation. That's what the Democrats keep pushing for, though. But Chris, what is your response to that?
Well, I agree with my fellow veteran caller in terms of just holding these people accountable, you know, and it's the other thing about serving in Congress is, I mean, these people make just under $200,000 a year. They have $1 million budget and half of them don't do anything and no one knows who the hell they are. And they serve on obscure committees that never get anything done. So I think that's what makes InfoWars powerful is we get to have those unfiltered voices of frustration and we don't ignore people, you know, and ignore those real concerns. You know, I think that Mueller, from a PR perspective, is getting beat up. I think he looked terrible. I mean, he just didn't look like he wanted to be in front of Congress. He knows that.
Yeah, and it really exposed the whole report as a fraud. But let's get to that issue you just raised on the other side.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Chris Nyweem on as our guest, and we've got veterans called in. We're going to go to you shortly. I wanted to ask Chris a question, though. He's out there in D.C., and he's constantly networking, talking to people, ear to the ground, communicating. Chris, how would you summarize this? I'm not really sure how to summarize it, but basically, I'm going to come on air, and I've said this multiple times today. I'm going to say it till I'm blue in the face because I believe it with my heart. The Democrat Party is a domestic terror group. And my logic behind this is the fact that they literally call for violence. They lie and slander and libel their political opposition, call for violence against them, justify it with their lies. You've had Republican headquarters attacked, ICE facilities attacked. The average Trump supporter could be attacked at any time. But I know that that rhetoric would be considered extreme amongst mainline conservatives. How dare you say that? Well, what do you mean, how dare I say that? I think their behavior is extreme, not my rhetoric. But yet there's this approach by the mainstream of the conservative side or the Trump support side that, oh, we can't be extreme like that. We have to, you know, kind of tamp down our rhetoric. Well, maybe there's a point to that, but I'm just sitting here like, well, when do we decide we're going to fight the Democrat extremism with extreme patriotism, with extreme reality? I mean, how do we balance that as Trump supporters in the face of calls for violence against us?
Well, I think that's where we have to stand strong. We always use facts, we always use figures, and we always go back to those constitutional figures, which ironically, if they knew anything about the Constitution, they should not be burning the flag and kneeling on the flag. They should be loving the Constitution, because the Constitution says you lost, you get to come back and try to put together better ideas and win next time. So why don't you try to focus on all the voters you ignored and were out of touch with, and maybe you get to win next time, and you have balances between branches of government. So they should be focusing on that. Another interesting point that I heard earlier today that I thought I would mention is, notice this, I think the Republicans would have lost less and maybe would not have lost a branch of Congress, a chamber of Congress, had the Mueller report not been so dishonest and hammered them. So if anything, I think the Republicans probably deserve somewhat of a do-over from the last election, from getting the cheap shots of the Mueller report. But even that said, I think we just have to hold firm, keep using the facts, and let them fall on their face. Because most mainstream independents and Democrats, core Democrats, they don't support that extremism. And they're probably like more likely to come over and vote for President Trump if things keep going the way that they're going.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's ever been able to put a number to that, but absolutely. The fake Russian collusion narrative, the Mueller investigation definitely hurt Republican numbers in the midterms, definitely hurt Trump support into this point. And yeah, who's measuring that? Who's going to be held culpable for that? Probably no one. This is just, again, the Democrats just get away with everything because Republicans don't fight back, and that's just how it goes. Let's go out to another veteran caller, Liberty, an Air Force veteran in Oklahoma. Go ahead, Liberty.
Hi, Owen. Hi, Chris. Good to talk to you. I just want to say one thing first. Woo-hoo! Oh. Anyway, I just want to say one thing I haven't heard anybody say yet about Mueller. I think it was all a con job. I think he was faking the whole thing to look that way so everybody would have pity on the guy.
But, yeah, I've heard this narrative, and also not just to have pity or make this claim like, oh, he wasn't mentally stable, we have to redo it, but also just delay. What do you make of that, Chris?
I think that's exactly correct. I mean, it was just such an inconsistent stream of investigation, and now it's sort of like there were a lot of answers in the hearings that weren't there. And remember, a lot of the source citations some of the Republican members used, Mueller was unaware of and refused to answer, and it was in his own report. So the bias was absolutely on the sleeve, and it was just sort of it was really a waste of taxpayers' money. I mean, just absolutely millions of pages of documents, resources, over 40 lawyers. And
yeah, imagine all the kids in cages at the border that could have been freed with all those millions of dollars that Mueller spent. So, Liberty, you're saying you think the whole Mueller thing was just an act, and it was just decided he was going to pretend to be all weak and feeble.
Well, you know what? I watched the whole thing, and that's sort of the way it looked to me, because anytime he got asked a direct question from one of the Republicans, he didn't know or it wasn't his purview. That's why I say it was all an act. He had this all planned out to act this way, it appears to me, anyway.
Yeah, that's like somebody calls in to the war room and is like, hey, Owen, you know, your guest Christopher Nyweem, you know, who is that? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I've never heard of Christopher Nyweem. You're like, well, what are you talking about? He's on the air with you right now. No, I'm afraid I don't know about this Christopher Nyweem. I'm going to withhold comment. Yeah, Chris, you know, it's really odd because of all the different things you can take away from this Mueller testimony, the one thing it seems that everybody or nobody can take away is that Mueller is legit and that there was any Russian collusion. I mean, the whole thing was about Mueller's this hero. He's going to find Russian collusion. Everything finishes. Mueller's a zero and no Russian collusion.
That's right. I mean, it's the sort of the phrase they used in Washington was collusion delusion. I don't necessarily think it was collusion delusion. I think they just wanted to create that so that they could have some sort of a excuse for why they lost. But going forward, it's just, I mean, they're moving so far left, this socialist agenda. And I think President Trump was smart to sort of identify these four radical members and sort of challenge them. And they did exactly what he thought they would do. They fell into the trap. They were very far left. They're, you know, we've seen one of these members going into a Trump rally, being violent and yelling and being extremely unhinged. And, you know, this is what they're doing. And, you know, Senator Sanders' entire health care plan, and he's challenging Joe Biden. Remember this, veterans died waiting for care in a veteran health care plan while he was a failed VA secretary. So with the Democrats, there's no accountability. There's no occupying what they actually did. And then they don't want to have any transparency themselves, but then they'll spend all these congressional resources just trying to throw dirt over at the White House. Meanwhile, the taxpayers are left behind and voters are left behind because we can't have Congress get anything done between now and the next election, which there are things, infrastructure, healthcare, there's all these kinds of real issues we'd like to do. So just this whole thing, I need to get some brain force Owen shift this weekend because this DC is driving me nuts down here with all these crazy Democrats.
All right, guys. We got to get Nyweem some BrainForce Plus, and it, you know, maybe we'll send you a bottle if you can. You know, see if you can't get some of these Democrats to take some BrainForce Plus, and maybe their brains will start working because it seems to be a lack of functionability. I mean, literally, like, I don't want to sit here and make fun of a guy that has health problems, but, like, let's not forget Jerry Nadler just basically passed out. I mean, it looked like he was having a stroke. He never said anything. But I mean, this is what they're doing. I mean, Nancy Pelosi looks like she can't even keep her dentures in. I mean, it's a real struggle on the Democrat side of the aisle. So maybe, or maybe we'll do like, Chris, can we get a brain force? Can you get up in the air and do like a brain force, like aerosol into the air?
You know, I think if you can FedEx it down here, I can see what I can do. And we might need that in one of the hearing rooms, but you know, what's interesting is with Nadler, you want to feel bad. And obviously want to have compassion. He probably didn't drink enough water that morning, but you feel bad. You're like, I hope he's okay. But then he comes back to be the same idiot and the same anti-patriot that he always is. And then you kind of feel bad that you felt bad. It's
kind of a, I feel bad that he can't find a pair of trousers that gets over his fupa.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
We are in a war for America. This is the War Room. Woo-hoo!
All right, welcome back to the InfoWars.com War Room. Chris Nyweem on with us, and he's got another guest joining us. Chris, why don't you go ahead and introduce our next guest here?
Boy, so we are bringing on Benjamin Krause, who is an Air Force veteran, an attorney, a journalist, and someone who's really, in many ways, I think, been sort of the disruptive force in the veteran media in Washington. So even in the veteran community, we have sort of this establishment, sort of old school thinking, kind of pro-VA mentality. He's been able to really break through that and bring in more of a free speech model for veterans. He's helped preserve a lot of jobs in aviation. I've worked with him, and he's been sort of a almost kind of like it's a parallel to sort of InfoWars with the media, what he's been able to do with veteran media and bringing in more voices and challenging the VA where they've been wrong, whether it's the painful canine testing program, preserving jobs in aviation, and creating a platform for veterans like me and entrepreneurs to kind of be independent voices outside of this old school. We wear those silly hats, you know, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the American Legion, that for the last 30 years have been sort of the go-tos for Congress on veterans issues. Now, under the President Trump administration, it's more individuals and entrepreneurs. So Ben has been really big, and I think he's going to bring a really value-added perspective to the audience on not just VA issues, but political issues generally.
All right, Ben. Well, there you go. So what do you think is the biggest issue for veterans right now that's on your radar?
Oh, man. Hey, well, first of all, thanks for having me on, Chris, and the warm introduction there. So I think right now with veterans and veterans benefits, I mean, I think most people are probably worried about the state of the country. Have a lot of concerns about justice, whether or not people voted for President Trump. I think a lot of veterans are really concerned about the approach that we're seeing being rolled out by Mueller and his team before, and the long-term impacts and implications they may have as we, you know, serve underneath the commander-in-chief, and some of the undue influence that now these long-standing bureaucrats or deep staters are going to be attempting to exert over future presidents. So that's my long-winded answer. Short-winded answer: hey, we're worried about the president, whether we voted for him or not. We definitely want the president to do what's right for the country. We also hope that the veteran, or that the president's doing the right thing for veterans. Right now, I would say he's been doing a great job as far as the veteran communities are concerned. I know that not everyone would agree with me, but we've seen some tremendous improvements and changes within the Department of Veterans Affairs as far as their customer service and how they're treating veterans. The programs are not perfect, but they are a heck of a lot better than they used to be even 4 years ago. And we're seeing a real tremendous growth as far as the communities that the VA has been able to build and the incredible amount of funds that the president has been able to allocate. I think we're over $200 billion now in benefits and monies that are going to the veteran community through the Department of Veterans Affairs. It's been a real tremendous boost to the community. So we're pretty excited about the developments. I think overall within the VA, especially with the Mission Act and expansion of healthcare, it's incredible. The agency's been rolling out the appeals modernization platform that, while it's had some issues, is going to be adjudicating claims more quickly. Hopefully that also means that those disability compensation claims are also adjudicated fairly, which always seems to be a trouble the agency's had. So that's my long-winded answer anyway. So we have lots of concerns. Those are the primary concerns.
Now, where do the veterans in D.C. stand? Let's get Chris and Benjamin's take on this, on just the current state of political affairs that have become so polarized, where it's like if one group wants to side with the veterans on an issue, like let's say Trump wants to bolster the military, all of a sudden that's a bad thing. I mean, how have the polarized politics affected getting support for veterans?
Well, I think I'm going to let Ben take the second part, but I'd say the first part is there's been a long sort of theme where veterans are just so sort of generalized. You know, we're either totally broken and we have serious issues, or we're these heroes and there's this hero worship and it's the heroes, and you use that term a lot, and it sort of diminishes actual issues in the veteran community and perspectives. And that's why I think some of Ben's writings are so key, and having some of these alternate media platforms for veterans and blogs has been helpful to get real communication in the veteran community. So one is just getting away from these broad-based themes that some of the veteran service organizations, or what we call VSOs, use, where they sort of speak for us, right? And so I think getting away from those general themes, that's my first half of the answer. I let Ben defer to Ben and what he thinks in terms of some other generic issues in the the veteran community as it relates to politics and veterans?
I think that within the veteran community, one of the things that I've always appreciated is our ability to move beyond these stigmas and stigmatizing language, right? So as veterans, when you're a soldier, whether you're in the field or working on aircraft like I was, you have to move beyond a lot of these stereotypes, meaning, you know, racism, other prejudices that people have. And while those things exist, you know, you don't want your buddy to die when you're in combat. You don't want the plane to fall on somebody when you're working on it. There are, you know, big world issues as far as the bombs, satellites, you know, special forces, troops, everything else that goes into fighting for the country to make sure that our, you know, our loved ones are safe, to make sure that our democracy thrives, to make sure our economy, you know, moves forward. And we tend to, as a community, as service members and then veterans, be able to move past a lot of those politically correct hang-ups that the country at large tends to be tripped up on. And so going to the question about polarization and how that's impacting veterans, I think that we're able to move beyond it as far as being able to move beyond the traditional strongholds of, you know, the VSO and some of these other archaic forms of organization that have in the past diminished our ability to be fully successful. And nonetheless, we still have issues where the political parties, through some of these stigmatizing techniques and strategies, we still do have some internal strongholds that are problematic. And so an example would be the way the union and Democrats tend to work together to keep that voting bloc intact. And the effect of that at times is having individuals work and help veterans that are maybe not the best folks for the job. That's been a consistent problem within the VA, but the VA has been quickly working to remedy that type of issue. But I think that would be at least one of the strongholds outside of the VSO community that, you know, is still a bit of a problem that veterans run into, but something that we're also working to move around by moving outside of the traditional VSO Iron Triangle Big Six arena.
Well, you know, I got to say, it's pretty funny listening to this and thinking about how there's all this red tape and obstacles stopping veterans from getting care they need or even a chance at the care they need. Meanwhile, if you just walk across the southern border illegally and know the right language, thanks to the ACLU, they'll give you a doctor, food, shelter, everything you need, no questions asked. But if you're a veteran that put it all on the line for this country, well, you got to hop over a bunch of red tape and obstacles just to even get a fair shot. It's totally unfair, and quite frankly, I'm sick of it. Thank you so much, Ben, for calling in today. Chris Nyeweem with us for another segment. When we get back, we'll take a couple more calls, and then we're going to play a video of President Trump addressing the Democrat Party. Is the clown world really taking over? Have we gotten to this point of society? The clown world has fully taken over. We'll go to the president next addressing this.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Veterans Call-In Special, my last segment of the day with Chris Nyeweem before Will Johnson takes over. And we're going to be airing a press conference that the president just had from the Oval Office addressing the Democrat clowns, addressing the Mueller testimony, and other such things. I want to remind you about the big specials at InfoWarsStore.com. 50% off DNA Force Plus. Just check out the scientific research behind the ingredients in DNA Force Plus for telomere support, 50% off. 50% off InfoWars Life Select Storable Foods, the best emergency food supply on the market. That's 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com. Super Male Vitality, 20% off at InfoWarsStore.com. How about the best protein bars on the planet, the InfoWars Life protein bars? 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And an exclusive offer for the War Room audience with coupon code WARROOM at checkout. 15% off any ProPure shower filter. If you're not filtering your shower water, now's the time. 15% off any ProPure shower filter. All right, I want to air a quick clip here, and then we're going to have the full press conference in the next hour with Will Johnson. Here is the president today during a press conference in the Oval Office addressing the Mueller testimony.
All they want to do is impede. They want to investigate. They want to go fishing. And I watch Bob Mueller, and they have nothing. There's no collusion. There's no obstruction. They have nothing. It's a disgrace. We want to find out what happened with the last Democrat president. Let's look into Obama the way they've looked at me from day one. They've looked into everything that we've done. They could look into the book deal that President Obama made. Let's subpoena all of his records. Let's subpoena all of the records having to do with Hillary Clinton and all of the nonsense that went on with Clinton and her foundation and everything else. We could do that all day long.
Boy, if that's a smoke signal for an investigation into Obama, I mean, I can't even imagine. I mean, we're about to take a call here. Let's go to Hatman in a second. But Chris, just real quick, I mean, what could possibly, I mean, imagine if we investigated Obama the same way we investigated Trump. I mean, we won't sit here and, you know, play Monday morning quarterback, or I guess Saturday morning quarterback, if you will, and say what we might find. But I mean, they just did this all into Trump. They got nothing. I mean, first of all, they'd never let us do it to Obama. But it's like, imagine, I mean, the mystery behind Obama. I mean, who knows? I mean, do you think Trump is signaling, all right, we're about to investigate Obama?
Well, it certainly has been, and it's been a long investigation, and the president's been disparaged. You know, obviously he's a public figure, so it's harder to prove defamation or libel when you're a public figure. There's a higher threshold, but certainly there's been a lot of stuff that said that was untrue. And for some reason, I think a lot of those agencies, a lot of our federal agencies are just so aligned with sort of status quo. And I feel like before this president, the presidents have sort of been just letting them run their own investigations and run their own cultural pursuits of these various projects. And with President Trump, he's kind of, you know, reined that in some respects, and even talking about reining it in. And they've tried to say, oh, that's obstruction of justice. I think he's just so used to pursuing business regimentation and trying to get things done that it was kind of a rude awakening to see how disruptive the bureaucracy is. And then he improved it, and now it's we are where we are. But you know, it's been, you know, President Obama had the media totally behind him. And this is a president that's being successful with the total media just making things up half the time. So it's such an interesting time politically watching these establishment forces get totally disrupted under this president.
I do wonder, though, I mean, what would turn up if a probe of Obama was done like Trump? I don't think it would be good for Obama or the Democrats. I think a lot of people would be really embarrassed is what I think. All right, let's take a caller here. Let's go to Hatman, a Navy veteran in Virginia. Go ahead, Hatman.
Hey, Owen. Hey, Chris. Hey, Ben. So I shot my first turkey last fall. Scared the heck out of everybody in a safe way, though.
Well, congratulations. I've heard it's really fun.
That joke out of the way, I wanted to get serious for a minute and tell you I got a four-word solution to the corporate censorship. Yank their corporate charters. Haven't heard anybody talking about this, and I think it's pretty straightforward and pretty easy. You know, no one is born with a right to have a corporation. They have to apply for it, which makes it a privilege, right? And the privilege is conditional. It's conditional on being in the public interest. How can it be in the public interest for any corporation to be able to trample a God-given right protected by the honor and integrity of everyone who swears to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic?
Well, and now you have the president signaling that Google is about to be looked at for their relations with China. Tulsi Gabbard has sued Google. Project Veritas has exposed Google for the blatant election meddling they're engaged in. I mean, Chris, Google, you know, they've already done the crimes, basically. Are they going to pay the time is the question, I guess. And maybe the president is trying to avoid that, but he's got to do what he's got to do.
They certainly should. I mean, I like the the recommendation of our guest. I mean, the accountability that the government does have on some of these entities, when you have a elected official that does get it, they should take that and try to punish them. When they're disrupted and they lose their time and they lose their revenues is when they might start paying attention. I hope so. Google's been a problem in other areas too. It's not just censorship on conservatives, which we have. You know, there's a congressional candidate, Republican veteran right now running in Georgia, who's been totally suppressed on social media by tech. They know he's a Republican. They know he's got a small business, and they've suppressed his likes, his page views, the same way InfoWars has been suppressed. So I think suppression's a big problem. And ultimately, Google also, I mean, there's been crimes out there where they're just so uncooperative with their attorneys out there hiding in San Francisco or whatever they do, where they're just – it's just a whole different culture. It's unbelievable. We've really got to stay on them. We've got to hold them accountable. And I think that's something the Republicans and Democrats should agree on, because when we start interfering with free speech and they start to get – you know, monitor our behaviors and our personal freedoms. It's
and
there's
I guess
a lot
that's
at
the,
play here.
That's the hitch, though, is, you know, some Republicans alike, but mostly Democrats are in bed with these big tech companies, or they're getting help from them, so it becomes difficult. Anything else, Hatman?
Yeah, I think that the issue might turn on exactly what the phrase "in the public interest" means and who defines it and who enforces it. Also, I have a couple of questions for Ben. Ben, do you believe that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land?
Well, unfortunately, Ben has departed, so I don't think Ben can answer those questions.
All right. Well,
but I'll tell you what.
Law of the land says so in Article 6. The point I was going to get to is that America is not a democracy. It never was designed as a democracy. The founding fathers were well aware of what democracy is and was, and they despised it. We have a constitutional republic, which is one better than the republic that the Romans came up with. We have a constitutional democracy, and
well, that's right. And the Democrats are trying to bring in a voter block to control us all with elections. That's the open borders. That's changing the electoral college. That's the gerrymandering that the Democrats are doing. Thank you so much for the call, Hatman. Let me squeeze in one more call before Will Johnson takes over with the Trump press conference, and we'll take more of the veterans' calls. Let's go to James, Army vet in Kansas. Go ahead, James.
Hey, Owen, how you doing?
Fine. Go ahead.
Hey, I want to talk about censorship and all that. I met you all down at the last year's flag lay in Austin. Pulled that whole Monday Night Football stunt. And, the InfoWars Army, InfoComms, has totally disintegrated to the point where you guys are censoring people and allowing, quote unquote.
All right, let me ask you a question. Hey, James, what you're an Army veteran?
Well, yes, sir. First Cav. Fort Hood, not too far from you.
So you've called in before. I don't understand what you want. Like, you want me to allow people to put...
I haven't called in before, bro.
Okay, I don't know. It's all out of control.
You interviewed me last October. Me and my brother, you interviewed us last October.
Okay, well, I just don't know, because I have people calling in that are trying to destroy InfoWars Army, and it's, like, out of my control now. So, I mean, what do you think should be done?
My whole thing is, you know, we pitched that idea to you because we were getting censored down there at the Planned Parenthood on whatever street there in Austin. And, you guys ran with it. It was awesome. And then now it's just fallen so far down the tubes that, like, what's your plan? Like, what do you...
But that's what I'm saying. Like, hold on, James. James, I'm not the one destroying InfoComms. You understand that? This is people out there. I don't even know who they are.
Right, it's the users, right? But there's got to be some moderation or some, you know, some control over that to where...
So, but then what happens is they say that we're censoring them. But then they say we're censoring them when we moderate content.
Say that again?
Here's what I'm saying. You went out and did a successful event at Monday Night Football. You didn't need InfoComms for that. You didn't need InfoWars Army for that. You did that because you wanted to take action and you had a victory. So my frustration is, I just wish people would take action instead of sitting here and focusing on me like I'm the issue. I'm not the issue. The issue is we're trying to save America. I just want people to get out there and take action. So, like you did. I mean, you had that got seen by a million people and you did it in your own volition. So thank you, James, for the call and your service. Thanks, Chris Nyweem, as well.
Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This
is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, welcome back. My name is Will Johnson. I'm sitting in for this last hour for Mr. Owen Schroyer. If you've been calling in and you want to call in, the number is 888-201-2244. If you want to call in and continue the conversation, we can even talk about censorship if you want to talk about that. 888-201-2244. All right, so I think we already have someone on the line here now. So at the bottom of the hour, we're going to play a video with Trump talking about the clown world, talking about these clowns, the Democrats. So we're going to get to that at the bottom of the hour. But right now, if you want to call in, the number is 888-201-2244. And let's talk about the censorship. We can talk about veterans. I think that's the whole point of today. Owen on the War Room. So let's go to, is that Malcolm? Is that correct? Navy?
Yeah, that's correct, Will. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, sir? Thank you for the call.
Hey, I just I was going to disagree with Owen Schroyer something regarding what the president was saying. If we can arrest people, I mean, Trump's talking about Barack Obama and a book deal and Hillary Clinton and the foundation. That's not going to do anything. He's got to talk about Barack Obama and the FISA warrant because it obviously goes to the top. And if it goes to the top, that means it goes to the executive, and that means Obama. And I haven't heard the president say anything about that. He's going into all these. If you really want to arrest someone for treason and spying on an opponent is treason. I don't know why President Trump won't bring up the FISA warrant and its link with Obama and also with Hillary Clinton. He's talking about the Clinton Foundation. Why doesn't he talk mm-hmm. about the Russian deals that Hillary Clinton made? I mean,
you know what? You know what, sir? I completely agree with you. And I like to think of it that President Trump is just, you know, he's just like playing his cards right. You know, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I wonder that myself. How come he doesn't like come out and just hammer Obama? But he has said stuff about Obama in the past. But you know what? Think about this. If President Trump told everybody what he was doing, how many of them would leave the country?
Yeah, but for what it's worth, Obama would look good in an orange jumpsuit. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. You know, all right. Appreciate the call. You know, one thing I noticed is the yesterday I was watching this whole clown thing with the Mueller report, you know, him being up on the Hill. And they were talking about can the President Trump be indicted after he's no longer in office? And they're saying yes. So they're still wanting to go after President Trump regardless. If President Trump soon as day one when he leaves out, there are going to be lawsuits against President Trump. And just like the last caller, if President Trump if he doesn't address these issues with Obama, Hillary Clinton, Comey, Loretta Lynch, all of the whole band of them, if he doesn't address this issue, he's going to have something. He's going to have to deal with them afterwards because they already have the lawsuits. I've guaranteed that they probably already have the paperwork in play. They're going to do everything they can. They want to put this man under the jail. Why? Because he has gone against this whole globalist system. Think about that. Because President Trump, the Paris Climate Agreement, he got out of it. The TPP, he got out of it. He publicly said that he's not for the globalists. He got out of it. The Democrats and even some of these rhinos, they're upset because he got out of it. So I know we're talking about the veterans today. One question that I would have for veterans is that how do you feel when you see, like it was in Colorado, and you see other liberals and the Democrats encouraging people to just be completely, completely disgraceful to the American flag? Yeah, I wonder, because I know men and women have died so that flag would fly high and to see this. And then you have some veterans that support these leftist liberals. That's something I cannot wrap my mind around. And I keep wondering, why do you support them? It's the same thing. Why do white people still support Democrats? Why do black people still support Democrats? Why do the American people still support Democrats when they hate us all? We'll be right back. back. Veterans call in. If you want to call in, my name is Will Johnson. I'm sitting in for this last hour for Mr. Owen Shore. So the number is 888-201-2244 if you want to call in and say your peace of mind. Let's give a shout out to Chuck in Missouri. How you doing, Chuck? Thank you for your service. Thank you so much. Again, the number is 888-201-2244. Like I was saying before we went into break, I keep wondering to myself, how is it that we have veterans that support the Democrat Party? You know, for me, I mean, I really don't understand it. It's mind blowing to me. It's, you know what? I'm not like blaming veterans. I kind of am, but I'm blaming black people too that support the Democrats. I'm blaming white people because right now, the year 2019, Democrats attack white people like crazy. So with the Democrats, we've always known that the Democrats were pretty much anti-military. They only act like they're for the military when it comes to pandering to them to get their votes. I don't know if Owen actually covered that or talked about that. I'm pretty sure he has in the past, and I'm pretty sure other people have called in and talked about it as well. But I've never served in the military. I have personal reasons why I didn't serve in the military, and I find it a complete honor for people who have served in the military. My father served in the military for 22 years, and he actually went to Vietnam twice. My father, he went the second time so that his brothers would not have to go. And during that time, they wouldn't send family members if you already have one out there. And, you know, it's just, and my father actually has a Purple Heart. And I remember when I was younger, I used to play with it because he had it in a little treasure box. And I used to open it up and I would just play with it. And I would ask him about it, questions, and he would never really talk about it. But, you know, I would never have that experience unless the Democrats just give America up. Then it'd be like Red Dawn. Then it doesn't matter. You know, at that point, then everyone's going to have to pick up arms. And that's one of the main reasons why America hasn't been attacked yet, because everyone in America, for the most part, owns firearms. But if we leave it up to the Democrats, they will disarm us, allowing for the UN, the globalist system, to come in and just take over and destroy this country. But we don't want that. We can't have that. All right. So I see Owen has some other articles up here. Let me talk about the clown world first. This 30th, July 30th and 31st, Clown World broadcast right here on Infowars.com/show. And if I'm not mistaken, you can go to clownworld.us and you can see the live stream of everyone talking about this clown show that's coming up. And now the Democrats are talking about attacking one another. Who's going to attack who first? You know, they're already gearing it up, saying, or Joe Biden saying that he's not going to be, he's not going to hold back this time. He's going to attack Kamala Harris. Really? So now it's okay because he's going to attack Kamala Harris. But Joe Biden, don't forget, she's a woman of color. Is that okay? Is that okay? All right. So we still have the phone lines. Now, if you want to call in, the number is 888-201-2244. This Friday afternoon, if you want to call in and tell us about your experience of being a vet, I'd like to know about your experience of the healthcare versus being under Obama versus being under Trump. Has it changed for you? Do you see it being worse? Do you see it being better? Which is it? I really would like to know. Okay, look like we're starting to get some phone calls to come back in. 888-201-2244. I can't really make this. Is that Darren? Darren, yes, Darren. Okay, let's go with Darren, Air Force. How you doing, Darren?
Doing all right. Well, how about yourself?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you for calling in, sir.
Awesome. Hey, I wanted to comment on you right before break. You were talking about you couldn't wrap your brain around the veterans standing up for people's right to burn the flag.
Well, it's right? not necessarily stand up to people's right to burn the flag. It's veterans standing with or supporting Democrats that want to destroy the military, in my opinion. I guess, let me be clear. That's what I'm getting at. Now, I completely understand men and women have died so we can have that freedom. We don't have to agree with it, but men and women have died to have the freedom to burn their flag. But my question is why do we stand with them when they know that they really, truly don't like veterans or the military?
Yeah, well, I don't understand that myself, other than they probably are snowed like the rest of them.
And I can see that.
That they are for them. I mean, you know, like the blacks too. I mean, you know, they've been duped to this for years, and so many people are waking up now. And I think the veterans are probably in the same place where, you know, they've just been sold a bill of goods and they haven't woken up to the fact that they're being sold a bill of goods.
How do you think we can change that? I mean, how do you get people to wake up to what the Democrats, I mean, what they're doing? I mean, because I used to think that Democrats were for the military because they, you know, they were for the small man, or, you know, I used to think that. But then when I started really looking into it and started doing my own research, the Democrats, they only pander.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, Will, there's even Republicans that, you know, I thought supported.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
You know, it's one of those things. It's just like the only way that we can fix this, just keep, you know, as far as I just keep trying to address my fellow vets when they start calling, you know, President Trump out for quote unquote avoiding the draft and things like this that they hold him for. I think that's what burns a lot of people, and they stand behind these other Democrats who probably avoided the draft too.
I wonder if these same vets had the same opinion when they found out, you know, Bush did that.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm just kind of curious. And like you said, there are Republicans or rhinos that they feel the same way. And, you know, I mean, I don't understand it. John McCain was one of them, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those things. You know, how many of those people, I don't care if you're a vet or if you never served or never had the chance to or whatever, because the era is not where we haven't been in the draft since I was in the military. You've never been faced with the draft. How can you criticize somebody who has been? Because I don't care. You know, I was a volunteer. A lot of the vets are volunteers. I mean, you know, at least in my generation, you know, some before me, you know, World War One, II, Vietnam, Korean War, you know, all that kind of stuff that could have been part of a draft situation. I don't remember how far back it went, but, you know, a lot of my generation, I came out of the, you know, I went in the military when it was 89. So, you know, I had to sign up for the draft, but I volunteered. But had I been forced to, like in a war situation, I don't know if I would have. I can't say that I would have. I mean, I'd like to say that I would have absolutely gung-ho, let's go for it kind of thing, but I never had to face that. So I just wish some people would wake up and, you know, smell the coffee and say, hey, what would happen if I mean, if you really get down to it, what would have happened if that had happened to me, you know?
Well, you know what? To kind of lean on what you're saying, if the Democrats are successful, because even Kamala Harris said once she becomes president, she's willing to do an executive order to force everyone to turn their weapons in. And we all know as soon as they are able to disarm everyone in America, they're going to have the UN come in and just take over, because we're not going to be able to defend ourselves from a foreign enemy. I mean, they're just going to walk on in and slaughter as many Americans as they can. And the Democrats are just going to be clapping them on. Yes, yes, this is wonderful. Stop resisting. Stop resisting. Comply, comply. Hey, Darren, I want to thank you for the call. And thank you for your service, sir. So, the clown world, July 30th, July 31st. You've got to tune into it. I know I keep talking about it, but it's going to be exciting, exciting. They have it set up to where there's going to be a whole bunch of people here talking about it. We're all going to be talking about it. I'm going to have the honor to sit here again one of those days, if not both of the days, and we're going to talk about these clowns that's showing up to try to take over America and remove President Trump, one of the greatest presidents in my lifetime. This is The War Room. We'll be back after this.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
right. The War Room. What an awesome name, the War Room. America is at war. America is at war. We are in the second Civil War in the United States of America, and we have leftists trying to get us to fight one another. They're pushing us against one another, and it's absolutely gross. It's gross what they're doing. It is absolutely gross. You know, and there's a lot of people getting fed up with everything that these leftists are doing. They are absolutely fed up. I know I'm disgusted with them. So, all right, let's go back to the phone line. Let's go to Jeff, the Coast Guard, talking about the VA healthcare. How you doing, Jeff?
Hey, Will, how you doing? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling in, sir.
Yeah. I just want to talk to you a little bit about the VA and my experience that I just had recently had. Main thing is I got a call from the VA maybe less than a month ago, and they asked if I wanted to come back to the VA. Well, I'd recently left the VA back in 2016 before the election because I was just fed up with the whole system, and I just, you know, left. And I decided to go ahead and, you know, take her offer on it this time, where before, a year ago, I turned her down. And it was a civilian person that called me before, and it was the same civilian person that basically she assigned to me. I'm basically like a caseworker, basically. I can call her for anything, and she was assigned to me. Where before, the VA, there was nothing like that. You went to the VA, you made your appointment, and, you know, it was cut and dry. Trump's making some major changes. I have a rep. I have a phone number I can call, one phone number to make an appointment for everybody. Dental. I only have a certain percentage. I don't have a high percentage. I don't have 80%. 80% people... I forgot what they said with the benefits. For myself, I get all dental. People are going to get dental work now. For anybody that's 80% of VA now, they're going to get dental work done. Well, I don't have that much. So I have vision and one other one, but also my medical's covered. So, I mean, they're really doing some good things in the VA to make a change. So, really,
so let me ask you this. What was your experience like when Obama was in office?
And you can just tell everybody was angry. You just tell the people, you could just see the hate, a lot of racism that was going on there. There's a lot of favoritism. There's a lot of corruption that goes on in the VA. And I'm not saying that's for every place there, but you can just tell there's a lot of unhappy people either working there. And then the people that are just there, you got people that used to work for the military and they couldn't be fired. If you were civil service, you couldn't get fired. Trump's changed that. That is the most major thing that's happened probably to the entire military, is you get some civil service guy, and the only way you would get rid of them is if you got rid of the position. So you had to eliminate positions just to get rid of a civilian sometimes. Well, Trump changed that.
So I remember when Obama was in office, there was this whole scandal that was going on with inside of the VA. And you know, it just dawned on me that you have the left right now. They like people to believe that there were no scandals under Obama, but there was a huge scandal with the VA under the Obama administration, and Obama administration did nothing to fix it.
Well, I mean, let's go ahead and count all the scandals that we have here. We got the IRS,
mm-hmm.
we got the VA, we got the State mm-hmm. Department. We got mm-hmm. Gaddafi. I mean, come on. They killed Gaddafi because he was going for the gold standard in Libya.
Yeah, and you know, and even on top of that, before the 2016 election actually happened, Russia mm-hmm. was supposedly trying to influence people when Obama was in office. But yet, they're not even asking Obama. So right now, if they want to try to hang somebody, because that's what the Democrats want to do, if they want to hang someone, how come they're not going after Obama? Because all of this took place under his watch.
We don't understand that, Will. Come on, this is the Illuminati that's taking care of the whole Democrat side here. So they're underneath that secret society, that whole, you know, skull and bones to you name it, Illuminati. I'm not saying that because my dad's Illuminati. Or sorry, my dad's a Freemason, and he is nothing of no stupid Illuminati. And here in Texas, it's nothing like, you know, someplace in New York or someplace like that where they're controlled.
Well, I think the Illuminati. So I think to my understanding, I could be wrong. To my understanding, mm-hmm. like you have the Masons, you have mm-hmm. Skull and Bones, and you have some other organizations, but all of them come together to make up the Illuminati.
Right. That's where you go to Albert Pike. Go back to Albert Pike. research Albert Pike, and he is the founder of it all.
The founder of the Illuminati.
Yes, the Illuminati. Quite amazing, yeah. Man. It's quite amazing. Yeah,
it is amazing.
Yeah, but you know, you got Hollywood trying to push it by doing the whole showing the triangles, you know, doing the one Alstein eye. They're trying to make it cool. But you got to look at this. You got to look at it a little different way. Who do you think is behind this whole Alstein eye? Because what is this Illuminati? These people worship Satan. But who is really Satan?
That's the very reason why they're promoting pedophilia as if it's okay.
It's no different than video games, the movies, the TV, the music, you name it, everything. Hey, by the way, I'm Hickster from the Infocom, so just a shout out to Owen. He's doing a great job. Thank you for the comms. I just want to appreciate you so much, brother. So
awesome. Thank you for the call too.
Thank you,
bro. Take care. You know what? I want to talk about the Infocom, and I haven't actually been on there that long. I just recently got an account on the Infocom, and I haven't been really aggressive on there, but people are complaining because Owen is not censoring people. I don't even know the whole story, but if you really think about it, do they want Owen to be Mark Zuckerberg? Do they want him to be Jack Dorsey? Do they want them to be, Google and start censoring people? I don't know. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get on Infocoms and I'm going to go check it out. And I'm going to ask Owen, maybe he'll give me some elevated privileges so I can go on there. And when people say something completely crazy, I can handle it myself. You know, and I'm pretty lenient. People can say all the bad things they want about me and I'm completely okay with it. You can talk bad about me all you want. But when you start being violent and want to cause harm and stuff like that, then you kind of get you might need to get booted, right? I completely believe in free speech. Free speech for me starts when I don't like what you're saying. Think about that. Okay. We have a video coming up where President Trump called the Democrats clowns. Blah, blah. Where's the horn at? We used to have a horn in here. I don't even see the horn, but the clowns, President Trump called these Democrats clowns. And we're going to see this video. It's going to be the remainder of the show. It's absolutely awesome. You've got to tune in and check this out. Did you find it? Oh, there it is. There it is. Thank you so much. President Trump called the Democrats clowns. We all agree right now. Clown World, July 30th. July 31st, right here at the Infowars.com/show. Be sure to tune in if you want to have a good time while you're watching the clowns, because a lot of people can't stomach these clowns. People can't stomach these clowns running around. And you're not supposed to talk bad about clowns. Oh, you're being hateful. You're being hateful talking about these clowns. President Trump talking about the clowns coming up after this break. My name is Will Johnson. This is The War Room. Tune in, Infowars.com/show. God bless.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
We are now at a point where we are, we just get along, and they're doing what we've asked them to do, and I think it's going to be a great thing for Guatemala. They don't want these problems either. So we were able to get this done, and we got it done fairly quickly. But this is after many, many years. Mexico also is working along with us very nicely. I mean, tremendously, actually. You'll see a chart where the numbers are really through the floor, I should say, because they're going down. Kevin, maybe you want to speak to the numbers, how well we're doing on terms of apprehensions.
Absolutely, Mr. President. Since the agreement was signed with Mexico that you energized and drove, we've had 28% reduction in June, and we're headed toward another 22% reduction in July in crossing. So 43% overall, thanks to the effort on the government of Mexico side and the implementation of our migrant protection protocols border-wide.
And the fact that they do have really a big slowdown coming in from Guatemala at the border, because we have again, 6,000 Mexican troops at the border of Guatemala, so that helps. But this will really help. This is something that's going to be rather incredible. So the numbers are going down. We could really do this in a much easier fashion if we had cooperation from the Democrats. We have absolutely no cooperation. Nobody can understand. And most of these people, 5 years ago, they all wanted a wall. And we're building a lot of wall right now, a lot of it. We've ripped down old wall, and we've ripped down wall that didn't even exist. It had bad footings, bad foundations. There used to be a wall there. There wasn't. It was gobbled up by the people that crossed. And we're building beautiful new wall, a lot of it. And it's getting built rapidly. So a lot of things are happening, but this is a very big day. John?
Mr. President, the big focus of the Democrats today was to say that they are going to continue and expand their investigations. They're looking for the grand jury testimony behind the Mueller report. They want to try to enforce the subpoena against Don McGahn. What do you say?
I think it's a disgrace what the Democrats are doing. It's so sad to see how they're impeding all of the good things that we're doing. Like, as an example, today is the border, and we're strengthening up our border with a great country, and we have other great countries that are going to be signing on also. And we're doing this all because the Democrats won't give us what we need. So simple: get rid of the loopholes, work on asylum. It would take a very short period of time. They won't do it. All they want to do is impede. They want to investigate. They want to go fishing. And I watch Bob Mueller, and they have nothing. There's no collusion. There's no obstruction. They have nothing. It's a disgrace. We want to find out what happened with the last Democrat president. Let's look into Obama the way they've looked at me from day one. They've looked into everything that we've done. They could look into the book deal that President Obama made. Let's subpoena all of his records. Let's subpoena all of the records having to do with Hillary Clinton and all of the nonsense that went on with Clinton and her foundation and everything else. We could do that all day long. Frankly, the Republicans were gentlemen and women. When we had the majority in the House, they didn't do subpoenas all day long. They didn't do what these people have done. What they're doing is a disgrace, so destructive to our country. And I think that's why we're going to take back the House. That's why we're easily going to hold the presidency, and we're going to continue to hold the Senate. And, you know, people don't say, but we picked up two seats in the Senate. We went from 51 to 53 in the 18 election. Nobody says it. They talk about the House, and I didn't get to campaign very much for the House. I couldn't, because we were campaigning for the Senate. We almost picked up five seats. You know that very well. So it's a disgrace that they're doing it. They're doing it for political reasons. And most of them, many of them, are admitting that. It's politics. And frankly, it's a very sad thing for our country. Yes? Well, we're looking at the whole Turkey situation. You know, they've ordered 125 F-35 fighter jets, billions and billions of dollars. They paid some of it. The planes are being made. They're easily sold to other nations because they're the greatest fighter jet in the world. And we have a backlog of orders, but it's a tough situation. They're getting the S-400 and our statutes and everything else. As you do that, you just can't order this equipment. And generally speaking, you can't order equipment, period. I don't blame Turkey, because there are a lot of circumstances and a lot of problems that occurred during the Obama administration. This dates back to the Obama administration, which was a disaster, okay? Yes, John.
Can I come back to one more?
Please.
Earlier this week, it looked like things were not going in the right direction. You were even threatening tariffs against Guatemala. What turned around in the last couple of days?
Well, I think I'd ask maybe Kevin and Ricky to answer. Relationship's been very good.
We stayed at the table. We've been working on it throughout. Enrique's demonstrated a tremendous commitment, the Minister of Government for Guatemala, helping lead the region to take responsibility for migration flows, to work together with the United States on how we can take the power away from the criminal organizations that are exploiting these vulnerable migrants. And we stayed with it and got over the line.
I would say that Guatemala is definitely clear on the responsibility that it has. We are clear that we have to make changes. And the way to do it is working together with our best ally. That's what we're showing here today. And we are definitely committed to continue doing and improving what we have.
Your court said that this was not possible to do. How did you get around that?
No, they didn't say that.
Well, about the, it looked like the courts were saying that you could not sign an asylum agreement with the United States.
So what the court said, which is a provisional injunction, was basically defined the process that was that had to be followed. We, as Secretary McAleena mentioned a little while ago, define how to do that procedure, and we are going to implement it.
Can you explain how this will work? If someone leaves Guatemala and walks from Mexico into the U.S., what happens?
A lot of good things happen. Go ahead, Kevin.
So this is a return to the appropriate approach with under international law to protecting asylum seekers at the earliest possible point in their journey. If you have a Honduran family or an El Salvadoran national, instead of having them pay a smuggler, come all the way to our border to seek asylum, when they arrive in Guatemala, they're in a country that has a fair proceeding for assessing asylum claims, and that's where they should make that claim. That returns that understanding under international law.
So they can stay in Guatemala or stay in the U.S.?
They can make a protection claim if they would like in Guatemala. So if they arrive in the U.S. not having availed themselves of that opportunity, they'll be returned to Guatemala.
That's a claim to stay in Guatemala?
It's a claim for protection under international law for asylum.
Which we've never had before, and which is something that's so good. It's good for everybody, but it's so good.
Are tariffs off the table now?
Well, we have a great agreement with Mexico, but we're going to probably do some additional work on it because we can't get anything from the Democrats. Dealing with Mexico is really what Mexico is doing for us at the border is far greater than what the Democrats have done. You know, the amazing thing about the Democrats, it was all fine. Everything was great 4 or 5 years ago before I was president. And now they think we're going to win, so they're doing everything they can with the impeachment nonsense. We had no obstruction, you had no collusion. You know, obstruction's sort of interesting. They've interviewed 500 people. They've interviewed lawyers. They've interviewed everybody that they wanted to interview. People that had, I could have kept back by using presidential privilege. I could have kept back everybody. They didn't have to interview anybody. I gave them total, and then they say obstruction. These people are clowns. The Democrats are clowns. They're being laughed at all over the world. And I watched this morning, I watched Nancy Pelosi trying to get through that with the performance that Robert Mueller put on, where I don't think he ever read the agreement or the document. And the document said no collusion. They don't even talk about that. So there was no crime. They said, well, there was no crime, but he obstructed. How do you obstruct? There's no crime. But actually, it was worse than that because it was a phony crime that they put on. The crime was what they put on. But I watched Mueller. For 2.5 years, we've watched this. And that's the best they have. And it's... For our country. It's bad in our relationships with other countries, including Russia. There's no reason we shouldn't get along with Russia. There's no reason we shouldn't get along with other countries. And one of the things that's nice about Guatemala is we've never had a better relationship. Right now, they've agreed to do something that's very good for the United States. And we're going to work with them also. It's going to be a partnership. And it's happening with Mexico, too. We never had any kind of cooperation with Mexico ever until this president, frankly, and my presidency, where you have maybe 21,000, could be 26,000 soldiers. And it's so good for Mexico because they're getting rid of the cartels, which everybody knows they've been running big portions of Mexico, and the coyotes and all of these terrible people.
Mexico's done a great job for their people. The president has done a great job for his people. And President Morales has done a great job by doing this, because now he has a friend in the United States instead of an enemy of the United States. Well, yes, John.
Mr. President, are you going to slap tariffs on French wine?
I might. So France put on a tax on our companies. You know that. And wrong thing to do. They should not have done it. So I may do that. I've always liked American wines better than French wines, even though I don't drink wine. I just like the way they look. Okay? But the American wines are great. American wines are great. And they didn't do the right thing. When they start taxing our companies, we tax our companies. They don't tax our companies. So France did that. I told him, I said, don't do it, because if you do it, I'm going to tax your wine, meaning tariff or tax, quota, whatever you want. So, yeah, we're working on that right now.
You were critical of Macron's decision to do this. How is that relationship between you and
good.
Macron?
Good. I just spoke to him. I just spoke to him. I have a good relationship with President Macron. But they shouldn't have done this. They used to take an advantage of the United States, but not with me as president. Look, I look at deals that were done with other presidents of this country, and it's a disgrace that our country's allowed this to happen, where China, for years and years and years, was making from $300 billion to $507 billion a year. Okay? Now we're taking in billions of dollars from China, and it's all turning around. Whether a deal is made, you know, they're going next week, they have more meetings, meeting after meeting. I don't think, personally, China would sign a deal. If I had a 2% chance of losing the election, I think China would probably say, let's wait. Maybe Trump will lose and we can deal with another dope or another stiff, like the people that allowed these deals to happen, this horrible thing to happen to our country. Because what's happened to our country, the money that China has taken out of the United States has rebuilt China. And I don't blame China. I blame the United States for allowing that to happen. So if I'm President Xi, or if I'm frankly Iran, and Iran wants to make a deal, I can tell you that right now. But if I'm Iran, I'll probably say, man, if I can hold out, I'm going to wait for a sleepy Joe Biden instead of Trump. Because Sleepy Joe, we can make any deal we want with him. He doesn't know what's happening. So what else? We'll be announcing it sometime fairly soon. We'll see what happens. But they put a tax on. We said, don't do it. We tax our companies. You don't tax our companies. And we'll be announcing something. It might be a wine. It might be on something else. But we'll be. It's called reciprocal. It's a reciprocal tax. And we'll be announcing that fairly soon, John. Makes sense, John. Do you agree with that? You're a man that enjoys wine. You just won't enjoy French wine anymore. Go ahead, Steve.
I agree that American wines are very, very good.
They are great. I agree. They will be going.
You don't sound optimistic.
No, I've never. Look. I think that China will probably say, let's wait. It's 14, 15 months till the election. Let's see if one of these people that give the United States away, let's see if one of them could possibly get elected. And I'll tell you what, when I win, like almost immediately, they're all going to sign deals and they're going to be phenomenal deals for the country. But so I don't know that they're going to, I don't know if they're going to make a deal. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. I don't care, because we're taking in tens of billions of dollars worth of tariffs. And the farmers are happy because I gave them $16 billion out of the tariffs and had tremendous, you know, much more than that left over, as you know, tremendous amount of money left over, like by three times. And we haven't even taxed China yet compared to what I could do. So we have tens of billions of dollars rolling in from China. We never had 10 cents coming in. And again, I don't blame President Xi. I blame our past leaders for allowing it to happen for so many years with the World Trade Organization. China was totally flatlined. And when the World Trade Organization came about and China joined the world trade, they became a rocket ship. Because, you know, It's a very unfair situation that took place at the World Trade Organization, as are many of them. So they're going to go, and we'll talk, we'll see. I don't personally care that much, because we're getting billions and billions. Remember this, the people aren't paying for it. Everyone says people pay for it. China's devalued their currency, and they're putting money in. They're pumping money into their society, into their country, like you wouldn't believe. You call it quantitative easing. With us, we have a Fed that does quantitative tightening, and they raise interest rates. So we have a normalized rate. President Obama had no rates, and he had no tightening. And we still have a much better economy than in his wildest dreams. So, and there is something okay about that, but we, look, the Fed acted too soon. I turned out to be right. They acted too soon and too violently. We've had 9 increases. I believe you'll check that, but I believe it's 9 increases, a couple under her and a lot under Powell. I'm not a fan. Okay, what else?
The dollar or the U.S. dollar? Is it too high, too low?
Well, the dollar is very strong. The country is very strong. The dollar is it's a beautiful thing in one way, but it makes it harder to compete. And despite that, but we have a very powerful dollar. So that's the good news. Despite that, we're doing really well. The country's doing well. It's really become more than ever before the currency of choice. You know, you have the euro that tried to cut in. Well, the euro is now not doing so well. Europe is not doing so well. China is not doing very well. You look at other countries, we're the hottest economic country in the world. There's nobody close. Even Guatemala wants to do business with us now, so we're happy.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Thank you, sir. Have you ruled out any measures?
On the dollar valuation, why did you not consider a proposal that was floated on Tuesday here?
I could do that in 2 seconds if I want.
Why did you not want to entertain it?
Well, I didn't say I'm not going to do something, but I'm, you know, look, having a strong dollar, there's a reason that it sounds so good. And having a strong dollar is having a strong dollar. We have an amazing country, we have a very strong country. That's why our country has a strong currency. Other countries have a currency that's down the tubes. It's a currency that's weak. China's currency is very low. You look at other countries, look at the euro is so low. I mean, Germany's paying almost no interest. We're paying 2.1%. We're paying a lot of interest. That's because we have a strong currency. It's a very complicated formula for some people. It's not complicated for me. The Federal Reserve raised the rates too fast and too soon, and they shouldn't have done quantitative tightening, which they did. If they didn't do that, we would be at 4.5%. Instead of 2.1. Everybody's so thrilled with 2.1. We could have had it much more, except for the Federal Reserve. And we could have been 5 to 10,000 points higher in the Dow. Now, I don't want to sound too upset about it, because we just broke the all-time record in the history of our country on the Dow. But we could have been higher, right? Could have been a contender. Could have been higher, as Marlon would say. Marlon Brando. The great Marlon Brando. Yes, Steve.
Are you okay with North Korea firing off these short-range missiles?
Well, you said it. They're short-range missiles, and my relationship is very good with Chairman Kim, and we'll see what happens, but they are short-range missiles, and many people have those missiles.
You don't sound too smart
about it. Nope, not at all.
They're describing the short-range as a warning.
He didn't say a warning to the United States. I can tell you that he didn't say a warning to the United States. But they have their disputes. The two of them have their disputes. They've had them for a long time. But he didn't say that. But they are short-range missiles and very standard missiles.
Mr. President, have you spoken with Boris?
Yes. Very good question. It's the best question you've ever asked.
I asked him the other day.
Well, you know why your timing is good? Because I spoke to him about how long have you been here? 16 minutes. I spoke to him 17 minutes ago. I hung up the phone as you're coming in. And he's a good guy. He's a friend of mine. I think we're going to have a great relationship. And Boris is going to be a great prime minister. I predict he will be a great prime minister. He has what it takes. They needed him for a long time.